This message is given by Dr. B.J. Stagner, pastor of New Testament Baptist Church, Goodlettsville, Tennessee.
All right, open your Bibles up to the book of Ephesians tonight. When you get there, let's all stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. We'll be in the book of Ephesians, and a brief message tonight, I believe. And Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. I'm not turned on yet, brother. Sorry. I am? Okay. All right. Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 1. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from our God, or from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, for the blessed night and opportunity to be here this evening one with another. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would intervene inside of our hearts and our minds to hear what you would have us to hear from the Word of God tonight. Father, I thank you for all that you've done and for who and what you are. We thank you for the many prayer requests that were put forth this evening. We thank you, dear God, for allowing them to come before the throne of thy grace that you may answer them according to thy most wonderful will. Lord, we give you glory and honor and praise for everything done and said tonight. In the name of the precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen and amen. Thank you so much. Please be seated. Friends, tonight I want to speak on the topic that many consider controversial. And in many ways, it is a controversial topic. However, we have a perfect Word of God. Do you agree with that tonight? Say amen. We have a perfect and inerrant Word of God whereby we may go and find the answers that we need from the Scripture. Now, some may ask, what if I don't find the answers that I need? Well, you don't need them then. Amen. Everything that you need to know about the Word of God is in the Word of God. And the Lord will open up your means of understanding and your way of enlightening from His precious Word when you believe and just trust for what it says and not look for what it means. So the topic that I want to bring to you tonight is the topic of predestination. And I know over the course of years we've taught and preached and preached and taught in and around it. We're not Calvinists in this church. We're not a Calvinistic bone in our body. And we want to understand that tonight. But I want to break down some simplistic ideas of predestination of the Word of God. Simplistic truths that you're going to find that is here in a few chapters, in a few verses of the Word of God that establishes what God really means when He says right there, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. So notice with me first, I want us to look at the chosen. Look at the chosen in verse 4. Verse 4 says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Now, friend, this verse speaks of a group of people, souls, if you will, that are handpicked, per se, from generations before and after them to be part of an entity like no other in history. This verse speaks of a chosen group of people that is part of something that is different from history before and history beyond. This verse speaks of a group of people that are literally chosen by God. Now, hang on there. I want you to notice here, we talk about the chosen people. We're also talking about a called people. Look in verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Now, as an overview tonight, the called and the chosen, understand this, they are predestinated. Amen? Yeah. You're nervous on that because you're afraid I'm setting you up because of what you've been taught of predestination. That's what the Word of God says, and friend, that's what the Word of God means. But some people become so disillusioned by this verse of predestinated us unto the adoption of children. So many have been led away by a private interpretation of the verse, by private interpretation and false teaching. So many the people have been led away by false teaching, by the lust of their mind and the lust of their heart. Now, hear what we have tonight. We have two choices to make concerning this verse. One of two choices. We can either address the verse and put it in its proper place with its proper meaning and its proper direction as God has intended in His Word, or we can just avoid the verse. We can just avoid the verse and hope that no one ever asks about it. You see, this is where the cults And this is where the critics come in to ruin people's doctrine. They falsely address this verse by misplacing it and causing confusion in a believer's life. There are many believers tonight, friend. Many believers tonight that have fallen away from the truth of God's Word and fallen away from the house of God and the right ways of God because a critic or a cult entered into their house, entered into their heart, and taught them something against the Word of God itself by literally using the Word of God. Now, we talk about critics and we call them Bible perverters. You know what the word pervert means? It means to malalign. Malalign. If you have a piece of aluminum stock, and you have it, and it's a perfect straight line. If you take that and you bend it, that metal goes through three or four different stages before it stops and before you stop. It goes through an elastic state. An elastic state for metal. And I don't have anything metal up here to give you a good example. But if you were to look at this and pretend this is metal, and if I bend this and it goes right back to its original state, that's called the elastic state. That allows it to flex, but it continues to remain straight. It keeps its shape once you let go. Then there's called a deformation state. When people bend plastic, they bend metal, you look there at that bend and it turns a different color. It turns white. Has anybody ever seen that before? It turns white. That means that that material has gone through a deformation period. When it goes through a deformation period, guys, in that state, it is stuck as to where it is. That means that that material has heated up to such a degree and it has changed form. It has been deformed from its original state, and it stays just like that once it reaches the deformation state. It has gone past its elastic principles or properties in that material. That is what somebody who perverts the Word of God, they deform, they malalign what the Word of God is. The Bible will answer itself. It possesses a built-in dictionary. It defines every word that we need, defines every meaning within every verse. So tonight I want to address predestination in the life of the believer, in the life of the church tonight, as God has intended through its mighty preacher, the Apostle Paul. To be predestinated, understand this tonight, this is something of a truth. To be predestinated is to be chosen and called. Called out from those that are around you. Is that not true tonight? If you're chosen and you're called, where are you called from? If you're called to something, friend, you must be called from something. Somebody say amen to that. You're called to something. You must be called from something. I'm going to give you a couple different places in the Bible. If you have a track or a bookmark with you, as a matter of fact, it'd be a good idea to get Brother Josh's prayer card out there. Most of you probably do have it. Use it as a Bible marker in church and use it as a prayer marker, a prayer card, throughout your day. Predestination refers to those that are elect. They are called out from something into something else. Hold your place in Ephesians and run quickly to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 2. You know the verse quite well. It's one of the verses that many of the Calvinists use. And I'm not going to sit here and preach against Calvinism. I'm not going to preach against John Calvin. That's not my point tonight. My point tonight is to show you what the Word of God has to say concerning who and what we are and the chosen and called elect of God. Predestination refers to those that are elect. Verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 2 in 1 Peter. The Bible says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Let me show you something real quick. If you write in your Bibles, if you're taking notes, I suggest this be a good place for you to do that. The Bible says here that we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God. That is the chosen aspect of predestination, number one, is that you're elect. We find the called part in the next part of the verse saying, through sanctification of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God sanctifies you. What does the word sanctify mean? It means to separate. Something that is sanctified is something that is holy. Something that is holy is separated from that which is common and that which is of the world and in the world. As a chosen, called, elect individual, a child of God, as we're speaking of tonight, they are called out of the world. They are chosen from the world into a separate entity. Look in verses 12 through 16 and you get a better picture of that. This chosen, called out from among them, this separated or called out, this entity that we're going to look at, verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, They did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Now, I don't have time to go into verse 12, but I'll tell you what, guys. Did you know tonight that you're part of something bigger, that the angels have a desire to look upon? You know, the angels can never experience repentance. They can never experience salvation. They can never experience the joy and the zeal that we have, knowing that we came from nothing. And today, bless God, we're something because of the shed blood of the cross of Calvary. The angels can't have anything to do with it. They don't understand what it's like to be in the world dirty and then separated unto the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have no idea, but boy, they would love to see it. Amen. I believe when they see every angel rejoice in heaven, when a soul gets saved, man, they say, oh, I'd just love to be part of that over there. But they'll never, ever be able to be part of what you and I are part of. Amen. They desire to look into it. Look, verse 13. That was free. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end of the end for grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Friend, that is the chosen, that is the called, that's called out from those among them. If we look back in our text verse today, we're talking about being chosen and being called. The Bible says that we're chosen, us, in Him before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. It's easy to know that God is not willing that any should perish. The Bible tells me in 1 Peter that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. That didn't say that all should come and believe, did it? That didn't say that all should come under and listen, or all should come under and share. That's what the ecumenical is like. Well, I just want to share. Let me share with you. Amen. They call those preachers, they like to share rather than preach the Word of God and the truth, because they want you to like them rather than love Christ. Amen and amen. Let me tell you this tonight, friend. God is not willing that any should perish. And it's easy to understand that. It's even more easy to understand because God is omniscient. He knows all. He sees all. He is all. Praise the Lord. He knows those that will be saved. And He knows who those are who aren't going to be saved. Amen? He knows that. And some of you are still nervous. You're scared tonight, worried about where I'm going with this. Y'all just hang on. Put your pew bells on. Let's get it on. God, if He knows those that are saved, and He knows those that are chosen, He knows that He's called them, it has to be fair to say that if He knows who He's called and chosen, and who will be separated, that He also knows who will go to a devil's hell. Because He knows everything. But if He knows it, does that mean He chose it? Absolutely not. He's not willing that any should perish. You can't split that verse in two. You can't hyper-dismissate that verse. That verse is what it is. God is not willing that any should perish. Hell was not created for His creature. It was created for the devils and or the devil and his angels. So false teaching of Calvinism, or the teaching that people received, they will instruct souls as such. They will instruct that there are those that are chosen to be saved, the elect of God, and there are those that are chosen to be lost, those that will split hell wide open. And that you were chosen from the foundation of the world to be saved, and that you're chosen from the foundation of the world to die in the devil's hell, that you are predestined to be saved, according to Ephesians chapter 1. That is what Calvinism teaches. And friend, that is dead wrong. Amen. Now you can relax. You can get a little unnervous because you thought I had done turned Calvinistic coming back, amen, from another country. Friend, did God know where Adam was in the garden when He showed him the cool of the day? Did He know where he was? He knew where he was. He wanted Adam to know that he knew where he was. He wanted Adam to know what he had done. Sin separates you from God. Amen. Sin separates you from God. That's the problem with trying to make the world your standard tonight. You see, so many people today, they'll make the world their standard. They'll say, okay, God's right here. Let me see. This is God. He's going to be right here right now. And then this over here, this is going to be the world. And since the world is right here, I'm going to be right here. This is where I'm going to be. I'm close to God. The world is over there. I'm going to be right here. Amen. Well, see, the problem is I am God. I change not. He doesn't go anywhere, but the world is always changing. You guys know that. Some of y'all wore jumpsuits back in the 70s. Amen. You wore the one thing fits all. Some of you had ties that wide. Praise the Lord. Then some of you had ties like that. And then those of you that played jokes on people and gave them wide ties, when the skinny ties were in, the wide ties came back in style, amen. I got a tie that I still wear today that Dad gave to me as a joke when I was in high school, and it came right back in fashion. Boy, it's one of the best ties that I have, amen. Here's what happens. The world changes. So if your standard and your mark is this much feet from the world, well, when the world moves, guess where you go? I'm still that far away. Where's God? He's over there. You see, we have to understand, guys, God knew where Adam was. Amen? He wanted Adam to know where Adam was. Did God know who Jacob was when he says, what is thy name? Yes, he knew what his name was. He's the one that ordained him to have that name. But he wanted Jacob to know what his name was. Jacob means cunning, means liar, means thief. God knew why Paul persecuted the church, yet he asked Paul, why dost thou persecute me? He wanted Paul to know why he persecuted the church, because he was a sinner, reprobate. He was zealous, yes, but he was zealous for the wrong reason. The simple fact of predestination in Ephesians chapter 1 is that we are chosen and we are called. This is true. However, all that are called are not chosen. The Bible tells me, Matthew 22, many are called, but few are chosen. See, that tears down the doctrine of Calvin or predestination of Calvinism. The Bible tells in Matthew 22 that many were bid to the wedding. But some said, I don't have time. I got to go do this, got to do that. Servant showed up and said, I bid them. They don't want to come. They're too busy. Look around this church tonight. There's people that are just too busy for God. Amen. Too busy for Him. It's a crying shame. It's an absolute crying shame that people are too busy for a God who wasn't too busy to come and die and shed His blood on the cross of Calvary. You see, this is what happened, friend. They were bid to come to the wedding. They said no. So what did God do? He went out and He sent His servant out and He went and got everybody else. He got the sinners, the liars, the reprobates, and all of these people. You know, that was us, by the way. He said, would you come to the wedding? They said, I'll come to the wedding. My soul, I've been looking for this all my life. Yeah, I want deliverance. Yeah, I want salvation. I want my sins paid for. Many are called, but few are chosen. God knows who will be saved. He knows who will not, but He wants us to know. So therefore, it's concluded that the chosen and the called of Ephesians chapter 1, as well as Peter, 1 Peter 1, is not referring to the individuals that are only chosen, but it's referring to those that are chosen and those that are called that make up the collective. It's those that make up a collection of individuals into one particular entity. And the rest of verse 5, back in Ephesians 1, you've got to hold your place in 1 Peter. We're going to bounce back. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. What's the will of the Father? What's the will of God? That none should perish. To us, did you notice this there? It says, having predestinated how many? Us. It didn't say me, it didn't say you, it said us. The us of verse 5, Paul is referring to the collective body known as the church, amen, to whom Jesus Christ shed His blood. Back in 1 Peter in chapter 2, here's a cross-reference verse that you can use, 1 Peter chapter 2. And in verse 9, he says, but ye are a chosen generation. Remember I told you this, a chosen called, collective people, out of the generations of all history of mankind, they are chosen and called to be part of something that's bigger, something that is better, something that is different than all the ages before and all the ages afterwards. He says in verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past, watch this, which in time past were not a people. He's preaching unto a group of Gentiles that were never a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. The predestination that is referred in Ephesians 1 and 1 Peter 1 is in reference to the collective chosen called who are not a people, but they're now the people of God. It's not a person. Not individual salvation is it referring to, as the Calvinists will refer to that you're predestinated unto being saved. Every individual is predestinated to be saved, and this was predestinated to go to a devil's hell. He's not even referring about individual salvation, but that which is predestinated is a group of people that are a local called out assembly that meet for the propagation of the gospel of Christ. The Greek word ekklesia is where we get the word church from. And it means a local called out assembly. Blackstone's legal definition of a church in the law books in England was this, that a church is clearly defined as a local called out assembly of believers in Jesus Christ who meet for the propagation and worship of the Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel. Now I ask you this, If we could look on the hearts of people in every church in America today, would they foot the bill to be legally classified as a church? No, they wouldn't. No. The purpose of the local collective today is for worshiping the Spirit and truth and for the propagation of the gospel of Christ. Amen. Man, you ought to witness to people. You ought to witness to people. You want me to tell you something that never gets old with me? Never gets old. When we were out and about, I would preach on this and I would pull that track out right there. And I would show the, and I'm telling those people, they just loved it in the church. But I wasn't just preaching in the church. When I was out in the streets and I was out in the, wherever in the shops and we would go, I mean, I would show these guys how easy it is. You just hold that thing up there. And I said, what is that? Oh, I said, and then you do, and I watched their eyes. Anyway, we would be out and we would be in the shops and we'd be here and there. And I'd walk out and say, hey, can you read that right there? Read that right there. It says death. So watch this. And I turn it over and their just eyes would light up. Guys, that should never get old with you. That should never, ever, ever, ever get old with you. You ought to do it. If you do it for a form of entertainment, fine, do it. But just get the track in somebody's hand. The definition of a church is a local called out assembly of believers in Christ. Legal definition being that a local called out assembly of believers in Christ that meet to worship Him and propagate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turning your Bibles, hold your place in both those places if you can. Turn over quickly to Revelation 5. Revelation chapter 5. Again, remember the Bible says in our text verse tonight, that according to He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. The foundation of the world. He is not speaking of individual salvation. I mean, He is speaking of a group of people that are individually saved. Don't misunderstand what I said there. But that which is predestinated is the local called out assembly of believers. It is the church that Jesus Christ is referring to. Revelation 5, in verse 1. And I was going to read all of these verses here. I may skip back. I may just skip up a little bit. But anyway, and I saw on the right hand of Him that sat on the throne, a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? No man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto him, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, in the midst to the elder stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into the earth. Friend, the lamb that has been slain, He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the root and the seed of David. That is Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 13 says He is the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Is that hard to believe tonight? That God, because God's foreknowledge, the Lamb is slain from the foundation of the world. Is that hard to believe? It should not be hard to believe. If God knows all and sees all, should not He already have in His own mind, who dwells outside of time, a Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world? That's where predestination comes in, friend. Because God's foreknowledge, His church as a whole, not individually, but His church as a whole, was predestinated. Hold your place here. Turn back to our text quickly. But in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6, why is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world? Verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. In Revelation 5, verses 11 through 14, it says, now behold, and heard a voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the sea, such as are in the sea and are in them, heard I saying, blessed and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped Him that liveth forever and ever. Why is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world? Why is Jesus Christ predestinated His church? For His glory, for His praise. As those beasts stand around the throne and all day, all night, they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. That's, they sit there and they praise His name over and over and over and over. So why is the church here today? For the glory of God. To the praise of His name. To show what He's willing to do, what He has done, and bless God, what He will do. Amen. For a body of believers that will trust in the free gift of salvation. Look in verse 9 of Ephesians 1. This is your confirmation, if you will, of who and what He's referring to inside of these verses. He says, having made known unto us the mystery of His will. The mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. What's the mystery of His will? In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Verse 1. Verse 2 says, if ye have heard of the dispensation of grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit. What's the mystery? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, of the partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, has given me, and that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. Hid in God? But this is the same Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. It's the same mystery that was there, but it was hid in God. Not revealed, not seen. And yet it was a mystery that the Gentiles would be saved. A people who was not a people, now the people of God. A children that was not a children, now the children of God. A people that came before God and in God, together with the Jews, to be under one body, one Spirit, one Lord, one baptism, and one salvation with one Savior. The Bible says in the latter part of verse 9, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. What is the manifold wisdom of God? That He knew from the foundation of the world that the entity was predestinated to exist. The church of the living God. The mystery spoken of as the church. The beautiful adoption that we read about in verse 5 in chapter 1. We, the church, we have an inheritance, adopted children unto the Father. And that inheritance, friend, that inheritance is predestinated. Verse 11 in chapter 1 of Ephesians says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. What is that? Chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 said that we're saved by faith through grace. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Can I say this to you tonight? Speaking of predestination, the church is predestinated. The entity that Christ would die from, slain from the foundation of the world, the mystery that was hidden God, was that of an entity, a separate entity, a group, a conglomerate, known as the body of Christ. When you heard, that's you being called. When you believed, that's when you're chosen. When you're sealed, that's the collective. See, that is the individual inside the collective. Predestinated, the mystery of the church, that both Jew and Gentile, Gentile who was in this world, who had not it was without a God, it was without hope, according to chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, come under the same Lord, the same sacrifice, the same baptism, the same body. Read Ephesians 4 when you get home tonight, and you'll see the whole thing explained out even further. That earnest payment, verse 14 of chapter 1, that was paid on the cross of Calvary. That purchased possession of the Lord Jesus Christ will be redeemed at the rapture. Revelation 4:1 says, and I was in the Spirit, and immediately I heard a voice saying to me, his voice, come up hither. Boy, I tell you what, I think that's coming soon. Why is it coming soon? To the praise and the glory of God. Revelation 5, chapter 5, verse 11 and on. So what is predestination? Let me ask you this. What is predestinated? It's the church as a whole, friend. What was the promise? That the individual will have the opportunity to accept the price paid for his and her sins unto salvation and be part of that collective. We are the church, a collective body of people that are chosen and called souls who have accepted the free pardon of sin according to the Scriptures. It is the collection tonight, the church, that what is predestinated. It is the call tonight that was predestinated. It was predestinated, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, that the call would be made. The group of body of souls was predestinated from the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It was predestinated to exist. But it's the chosen that are not predestined. One soul was not chosen over another soul. You see, friend, that's where they go wrong. The problem is, in Calvinism, in this false teaching, is that rather than using a telescope to see the church as a whole, they use a magnifying glass upon little bitty pieces of the church. And that's where we go wrong. Friend, it's not so much a preaching or a teaching against Calvinism, because I shouldn't even have to mention Calvin's name. All it is about the precious Word of God.
knowing exactly what and He said and what He's done for us. Beloved, I'm going to say this to you tonight and I'm done. You ought to thank God tonight that you're part of the collective. There's not a day that goes by your life that you shouldn't thank God for being part of the collective. You were a body of people. You were not a people. I was not a people. We were without God in this world. We were without hope. We were without direction. We were without salvation. But God, who is rich in mercy, hath called us. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, eyes closed.
This concludes this message. For more information on messages available through the Faithful Witness Outreach, visit New Testament Baptist Church online at www.ntbctn.com or for immediate assistance, call New Testament Baptist Church at 615-851-0970. If you are in the Nashville, Tennessee area, please feel free to join us at any of our church times. New Testament Baptist Church is located at 2320 Baker Station Road, Goodlettsville, Tennessee, 30072.